The world's a better place because you are here to join us. My name is Matt Brown, and I am the host of the Productive Conversations podcast. I'm so excited to begin our coverage of the NBA postseason. Me and the great Fresh Faces New Ideas here, and we're about to kick off our two-month coverage of the NBA playoffs. So what's up, Faces?
What's up? I'm kind of mad that I don't get to watch Wemby play basketball for another, I don't know, whenever the fucking Olympics are. That's it.
Yeah, I think we got 3 months till then, late July. But hey, he played spoiler last night against the Nuggets and moved the seating around. So it's already showing his impact. And clearly your rookie of the year. But we'll go with the player awards a little later on when we get closer. But you have a lot to look forward to, Faces. I'm sure you obviously know that.
All right. Yeah.
All right, let's kick it off. First things first, introduce. Now this is our third season with this, the NBA play-in tournament, which I think has actually been a good idea. And we have some intriguing matchups. One that starts this Tuesday, the 7-8 game. We have the Los Angeles Lakers and the New Orleans Pelicans. So whoever wins this locks in the 7th seed. They will play the Nuggets in the West. Talk to me right away. How are you feeling about this? These two teams happen to play each other in the last game of the season with the Lakers actually trying and getting a solid win. Can they do it again at New Orleans and keep the momentum going here with LeBron and AD? Everybody's healthy right now. We also have a healthy bunch in New Orleans. What do you think about this matchup right now, Lakers and Pelicans?
If I'm the Lakers, I want to lose this game. Like, let's be clear. The winner of this game gets the opportunity to get curb stomped by the Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
That's the two seed. So you get to play Denver. I don't think the Lakers have beaten Denver in like 2 years.
Yes, no. I know for a fact the season series was a sweep.
And they got swept in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
So like, you don't want to play. You want to hide from Denver as long as possible. So I think, and especially if you're LA, where your strengths are basically you're a big physical team. Matching up against the Thunder, who are the one seed, is the ideal for you, because while they're younger and they can run, and Shea was really good, they're also really small. Like, outside of Chet, they don't really have any size.
Yeah.
And while they have some, like, they have good wings, like Jalen Williams is pretty good. They got Lu Dort, so they have some wings who can match, but they don't have like interior size, and that's a thing that the Lakers can take advantage of. But yeah, I don't know. I whoever wins this game loses. That's basically it. I don't know what to make of this Pelicans team.
Your boy Zion made it a full season. That's already a step up in the right direction.
Yeah, which is fine. And so they'll get a full look at this, but they're not going to beat Denver. Like we don't know what this team's going to show up at what point. It's just a weird. It sucks. You win this game, and then you're going to get beat by Denver. It doesn't matter. Honestly, it doesn't.
So it's basically, you're in a fucked situation either way, which I do agree with you. And that's what was interesting about how the seedings actually folded with the last two, with the last weekend in particular. But here in a clear example here, regardless, I do think for momentum's sake, you have at least someone get a playoff win when the Lakers, I think, could use it the most. But I understand, too, you are running into a lame duck situation, if you will. So that's where I'm going with this matchup. But probably the one even more interesting one, the one that will follow here, the 9-10 game. So whoever wins this game will play the loser of the 7-8 game. And with that, it's going to go down to Golden State in Sacramento. So say if obviously the Pelicans wins and the Lakers go, you have a good matchup possibly if Golden State can win, and they've been hot as of late, and then the Sacramento team, who had a very underwhelming season compared to where they were last year, but sneak right in the playoffs. What I think both teams are going to have a favorable matchup either way by winning this, But who do you think ultimately can sneak it out for two teams that were a bit underwhelming this season in the West?
No, hold on. The Kings weren't underwhelming. They won two less games than they did last year. Like, the difference wasn't that they got worse. It's the West is just so much fucking better, like, than it was last year. Like,
and
like
I
if
just
you
wish
put
they
them
were
in
more
the
dominant
East,
where they were.
like, if you put them in the East, I think they would be the three seed. Like, that's where it is. Like, in the East, only one team in the Eastern Conference. Actually, I think the Knicks won 50 games, so maybe they would have been, like, the seventh seed. Like, only one team in the East wouldn't have been in the play-ins. So, like, this is probably going to be the most entertaining play-in game because they gave us the best first round series last year. I don't know. Like, both teams have like a lot of flaws. If you're the Lakers, like, the problem with the 9-10 game coming after, obviously, I think this is the right move because it deters teams from doing basically what we're arguing, that you should just throw a game. Yeah, I think if you're the Lakers, you still feel pretty confident about beating either of these teams. Obviously, you would hope it would be Sacramento because the idea of having to deal with Steph Curry in a do or die game at any point is just always terrifying. So I don't know. This will be the best, probably the best game of the play-ins, because it's the two teams that care the most, and like, this is Golden State's like last hurrah,
That's what I was
and
going to
then.
say. Do you think that pretty much they're going to clean house if they lose this? You know, Draymond with expiring contract. What is Klay's career trajectory at this point? You know, Steph still has plenty left, but it seems like that era is coming to an end. It was the Steph Klay one, if you will.
Yeah, no, I think there's teams. I think Draymond's going to be there. I don't think Klay is.
Okay.
I think they had a lot of ability to remove Draymond earlier this year, and I think that they just decided he's more important. Because you can kind of replace Klay with just the shooting and stuff, but you need Draymond's defense. And I mean, obviously he hasn't punched anyone in like 2 months, so there's
They have
that.
to step
So
the right
that
direction
that's it.
after the suspension earlier this year.
But yeah, these are like, again, the same thing is, I think if Golden State ended up being the eighth seed, I think that would be a really fun matchup with them playing against Oklahoma City. Because it would be, the youngest team in the league versus one of the older teams. The last time, there's animosity between these two franchises. It would be, it would be a very interesting, like, passing the torch moment for Oklahoma City to have to play. And I think out of the four teams in the play-in, Oklahoma City matches up better against both Golden State and the Kings. Like, they're both teams that they don't have to worry about a lot of size. Certainly with the with Golden State, they don't. But I don't know. Again, it's like the seventh, the eighth seed is ideally what? You still there? Okay. Okay, my thing. The eighth seed is ideally where you'd want to be. But I don't know. It's whoever gets it is it's gonna be the more interesting series. Because I think Denver is either going to they'll lose like one against either of these teams. It's not to say that the Lakers didn't play them close. They haven't really gotten better, and maybe Denver's taking a little bit of a step back because they don't have Bruce Brown's defense in the same way, but they're still better. Like, they don't have an ant like Jokic. He like saves this directly for when he plays against the Lakers. There's going to be at least once a game where he hits that like step back with like a fraction of a second left on the three on the shot clock, where and he just it's just that moon ball from like. You can't do anything about it. He does that like once a game against the Lakers. So I
Or get
imagine he'll
like
bring
a
it this year.
behind the pass moment with a perfect assist that nobody sees coming. And that's why he's your MVP again. It's as simple as that. And as they've been coasting, so I almost get the vibe that between the one and two seeds, at least, in terms for the one and two seeds seeding, it doesn't really matter. Like, you just feel, I know when you and you were very high in Denver at the beginning of the season, you just feel like, despite it being stacked, and some people going as far as to say the East and West, this whole playoffs is as open as possible, you still feel that it's still Denver's to take. It's pretty much Denver and whoever comes out of the East, which we'll obviously get more detail with.
Well, yeah, there are teams, like, it's very possible the Lakers get that eighth seed. They can go on a run. Like, It's possible that Dallas could go. They've been very hot. I think Minnesota doesn't have enough firepower this year. I don't trust the Clippers' health.
Yeah, I mean,
and then I just don't trust the Pelicans. So it really does feel like it's Dallas or, oh, and Phoenix. Like, Phoenix could definitely get hot against somebody.
Yeah, and they've won 7 of their last 10 right now.
I don't know if they have enough to ultimately, like, go through all 4 rounds, because they're really shallow. But it very much feels that this is still pretty much, you got to go through Denver.
I see. And, you know, with the Phoenix part of it, too, how do you feel about, you know, where at this point with the big three there and Dre, Devin, and Bradley Beal, do you feel, even though they've won 7 of their last 10, do you feel at least Phoenix has something left in the run? And we'll break down Phoenix and Minnesota a little later, but some early thoughts on that. Do you think anything of it, and especially where they've been lately?
I mean, it's been a disappointing season for them. That mostly just, even just looking at health from a health standpoint, but they were championship or bust. And this is a good model in the new cap era of, like, having no assets and having, like, I don't know where they go. Like, they just re-signed Grayson Allen for 4 for $70. Not to say he didn't deserve that, but, you know, you're gonna have like $10 and a bag of peanuts next year to fill out the rest of your rotation. We saw what happened, like, basically to start the, and, like, who are they gonna trade for anything if they're trying to do it? They don't have any picks. They don't have, like, who's gonna trade for Nurkic? Like what do they have to offer anyone?
Nobody. That's why they have to somehow scrap their way into a deep run. But we can get that in a little later. Now focusing on the East play-ins, first for the 7-8 game, we have Miami and Philly. What do you think about this matchup right here? Very interesting matchup. I think it could also be a lot of fun to watch.
If I'm the Knicks, I'm worried about Philly. I think Embiid looks healthy. I mean, I know he limped off the game against Orlando earlier last week, but I think there is a reason they were the only team that was really viewed as a threat to Boston. Miami is obviously, like, more of a mental hurdle than they are, like, a physical hurdle. I think Boston's better than them. The Knicks are certainly as good as them. I think another Knicks Miami series is going to be a rock fight. I mean, DiVincenzo's been really good. Hart's good, but I don't know how much firepower this Knicks team can really muster. And I don't know where you go outside of Brunson. Like Tibbs isn't playing Bogdanovic.
Hasn't gotten a lot of minutes. He started off slow, but he's gotten better.
OG is going to be able to hold up in the series. Not that I'm not talking about, like, his inability to play. I'm talking about physically how healthy he would be. And I think this is where losing Randall's an issue. But, like, you know, they had their first 50-win season since, I think it was 2012.
That's right, the mellow year.
And, you know, you actually have, like, a stable franchise. Like, you're very clearly on the up and up. You got a guy who shows that he could be the 1A at least on a regular season team. We'll have to see in the playoffs. But, you know, you're missing. I think the best thing that comes out of it, it's very clear that they're not going to waste money on Donovan Mitchell. They're going to go after something else. Like, you know, there's the Mikal Bridges stuff because he's a Villanova guy. There's, I think Paul George would be an interesting player to put on that team.
What about DeMar DeRozan? How about that? People who are interested in that.
I guess it depends on the price. Like, Because he is going to be a free agent. So if you can get him for something relatively cheap, but it's really just a firepower issue. The idea is not to overextend to, for like the wrong guy. Like trading for like Donovan Mitchell would be a mistake. Or, you know, because you don't need another small guy. You need a larger wing who could score.
How about, obviously I have been very, very vocal about my fandom with the Knicks, and I do expect and I hope to see them make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. And I especially think with their two-way play, Ed's being hot lately, I do think it's possible. Won't be easy, but I do think it's possible. They should definitely win the first round. And I understand the big matchup with the Sixers and Heat, and Heat have always played well. It'd be interesting too, Julius Randle actually got hurt against the Heat in February this year. But one thing about the Knicks is a concern is you're right, there isn't a solid two. Who is the person to get that second shot if Jalen Brunson gets double team? Now, I thought, as you mentioned, Dante can be that person, and it's just a matter of showing if he's clutch or not, but he's had a spectacular season. It's been very good for him, and we need Josh Hart to get the rebounds most of all and see what Mitch Robinson can do if he can offer anything. But I expect this Knicks team to be coherent with each other and at least be close and make a deep run with their two-way play.
I think if you get Miami, you're in a much better shape than I think Philly is. If Embiid is healthy, I think they just have too much firepower between that and Maxey. Because I think Maxey can more or less. I know Brunson's been better, but you can get like 80% of a Brunson from a Maxey, and then whatever you got Buddy Hield, and at some point Tobias Harris might do something.
Yeah, he'll be
But
they'll be
this
the
is.
alpha man, the secret ingredient for them.
Like they have an interesting like Philly team, and I think they're like the, they feel different. Like they have a difference, especially with Embiid back, that they have a different like level of confidence if he's healthy. Like I think health is a lot more of a variable in the East than it is in the West this year. I think basically outside of Boston, like the big contenders all have health issues.
Hey, quick thing, we have a Woj bomb. We have a Woj bomb faces. ESPN reports that the Nets are planning to hire Kings Jordy Fernandez as the franchise's next head coach. Not too familiar with Fernandez, are you?
I have no idea who that is.
Oh, sorry. Fernandez. Jordy Fernandez. Yeah, he was the associate head coach for the last 2 years. He's the Canadian head coach. This will be his first time. Taking over. This is his first time being a head coach in the NBA. He's from Spain, only 41. Interesting.
I'm going to say it sucks for that guy. Like, good, you're getting a head coach, but this is like, I don't know if there's a more bleak outlook for a future team than the Nets.
Tell me about it.
If they really did turn down, we've talked about this a bunch, and this will always be like such an interesting inflection point, like multiple picks and Jalen Green for Mikal Bridges, that like it's an absolute travesty.
It's like they're purposely trying to mess with the franchise at that point.
So I mean, I wish him the best of luck. The real thing is like you have to take a job like that with guarantees that like, hey, look, there's only so much I'm gonna be able to do with this roster. Because last, they're coming in this year, they were hoping Ben Simmons was gonna be like the piece that they built their whole team
Not
around.
even
And
close. Nick Claxton
I don't know.
wasn't as.
Yeah,
Who
Claxton
was
might not even
under
be there
him?
next year.
Yeah, he's gonna be a hidden gem for someone. And last thing with this before we just talk about Atlanta, Chicago, say the Knicks do make a deep run without Julius Randle. Some people feel like maybe he could be a trade option. Would you trade Julius if you make it to Eastern Conference Finals without him?
It depends on what you get. Like, would I trade Julius Randle for like Trae Young? No. Again, it depends on like what the options. I think ideally you could dangle him. I would be interested to see who would try to trade for him. But the thing with Julius Randle is like he's been good like every other year, but you have no way.
Yeah.
Like you're like praying every playoffs that he's not terrible. Like he hasn't been good in the playoffs.
Yep, and he's
But
been
at
injury
least he's
prone
I think
too.
he's expiring this year. So maybe somebody's looking for cap space. I don't know who that is.
What if you did all the first round picks the Knicks have in Julius for that for Mikal Bridges to complete the Villanova reunion?
Yeah, I mean that would be the trade. It would be some type of salary match with another team. But I mean again, the what was the stat that the Knicks haven't made a trade with the Nets for players in like 40 years or some like crazy.
Yeah, they have never done it since they first entered the league in 82. So, yeah,
Yeah.
I better
So
see
I mean
that
that would be
today.
interesting. I think he's an interesting trade piece. I think if the Knicks make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, which they certainly have the ability to, just because of how terrible the East is. The idea that they're not having enough firepower and like talking up Julius Randle to try to trade him would be interesting. But again, it depends on like who's available and who's coming. Like I think the ideal guy would be somebody like Towns, but I don't see Towns leaving in anymore.
Yeah,
Unless he's
especially
like
for what they're
truly,
building.
truly horrendous during the playoffs because they need him. So like I don't know, are you monitoring, Phoenix in case they blow it up? Like I don't really know where you would like Julius Randle for Zach LaVine is a bad trade.
Yeah, I
Like
think
it just
those
is.
interests died too.
So I don't know. I guess it depends on who's available, what people are looking for.
Yeah, and like we said, this we'll definitely have to see how deep they make it this season as well. I think that'll be a major factor. All right, let's continue on with the 9-10 game in the Atlanta Hawks and the Chicago Bulls on Wednesday night. Do we see any of these teams being interesting in this matchup?
No, it's only interesting about what they're doing next offseason. Because Atlanta is the most meh team in the league, but they're like, oh, we have Trae Young and DeJounte Murray, and we may trade one of them. I mean Trae Young will probably get the back, but they like who cares? I hope Chicago beats them. I hope they go into a rebuild. I hope they
Yeah.
rebuild for the next I hope Atlanta rebuilds for the next 3 years. And they just suck every year, especially next year. I want them to win the number one pick next year.
And start some revolution.
Well,
Okay.
no, because they don't have their pick. They don't have any of their picks for the next 3 years. And then, Chicago, look, Coby White should win most improved.
Oh man, he's had some really great season this year.
Yeah, like I don't know. Is Patrick Williams hurt?
Patrick Williams is injured.
Okay, because like I the last thing I heard about him is he wanted $200 million.
Yeah, I know this just from he didn't play in the Knicks Bulls last night, but yeah, he's done. He's not going to be a factor in this postseason.
Yeah, I mean up DeMar's value, I guess. Like it doesn't matter. Both of these teams are going to be ideally drastically different next year, because they're like eh. They're like the Nets are eh. As a team, but their like future is bleak. These teams are just eh. Like nobody cares. Nobody's scared of the Hawks. Like nobody's scared of the Bulls. Like yeah, it sucks that the Bulls thing didn't work out because Lonzo's legs were destroyed by whatever the shoes he were wearing, or whatever the fuck happened with him for the last 3 years. But it is like so bad that they haven't made that 3-on-0 fast break. Is like the unmost, it is maybe the worst play I've seen in my life. Like just across, it is such a level of like lack of basketball IQ. I don't even know how to describe that it happened on a professional level.
Do you think it should have? If you were Billy Donovan and you heard about the Kentucky rumors, he denied he wanted to stay in the NBA. Should he have just gone back to college, take over Kentucky?
I would have because like the thing with Billy Donovan is it's a combination of him like the Chicago job when he first took it was interesting, but like he's gotten a raw deal. Like a lot of like he's had so like these have been his most consistent teams, and they've been mid. Like when he first came in the NBA, he had KD and Russ, then he had Russ, then he had Russ KD, then he had Russ and Paul George and Melo, and then he had them for like 2 years, and then everybody left, and then he left to Chicago, and then like he had that weird team where they were like trying to build around marketing and Wendell Carter Jr. and Kobe White, and then they did this other thing with the Vooch trade. It's I think it's he's just had really bad luck, and I don't know how good a coach he is. I think go back to college, go win some more. He's already one of the best college coaches ever. Why not just take some time to do it? Because like the thing is, if you do good in college, it like washes away all the stink of how bad you were in the NBA.
Yeah, well, that's worked in the NFL especially too, but yeah, disappointing to say say the least. But amongst this though, you see the seventh seed going to it's a toss up, but you would see Philly taking that seventh seed.
I think they're better. Yeah.
And
I
then out of
think it's gonna be 7-8, Philly, Miami. I don't
Okay.
honestly, Boston praise it's like Atlanta or
Yeah, right.
I honestly Boston just doesn't want to see either Philly or Miami. I mean it would be nice. Like this is kind of I know it's not the same analogy, but like when LeBron was in Cleveland and he kept having to bang his head up against that big three Celtics team, like Boston's got to beat. They played Miami close. They've already lost them twice. Like you don't want to see Miami. They're the your boogeyman at this point. You certainly don't want to see Joel Embiid because he's probably the best player in the East. So yeah, they're hoping for either the King, not the Kings, the Hawks or the Bulls to come out because they're just gonna curb stomp them. They're like they may lose a game to the Hawks because Trae Young gets hot or like. DeJounte Murray takes 50 shots because they don't care, but they're gonna destroy either of those teams.
And speaking of the Celtics, though, coming in as a number one seed and seeing the high expectations they have, how do you see the Celtics postseason run
If
unfolding?
they
How do
don't,
you?
anything short of a final appearance, and like, I don't think they're better than Denver, so if they play like Denver, they're probably going to lose, but anything short of a final appearance, especially this year, like the East is open, like it's theirs to lose by like such a wide margin. It's like not even funny. There's like nobody. This is like when LeBron was tearing everybody apart, and we're like, oh, maybe this team could. Like, no, the second best team had their best player miss like what 30 games? How many games did Joel Embiid miss? Something like that, and then. The team that people thought was going to be second or third best team. We don't know how healthy Giannis is going to be. And they've been a train wreck the entire time. And they're coached by Doc Rivers. So they may just get swept. And then, you can't worry about the Pacers because Haliburton's not healthy. You maybe worry about the Knicks, but they're better than the Knicks. Like they, if anything short of a final appearance, it's just an absolute disaster. And I don't even know how you melt down, especially like if they lose in round one to the Heat again, or if they lose to the Heat in round one, I don't even know what happens. It, like that team has to have such a terrible collapse for something like that to happen.
Yeah, and you wouldn't even know where it would come from, or where to go. You have the pieces, and they made it this whole way, especially KP. KP made it a whole season. What a win there. And if you fall to an eight seed, yeah, you definitely could question Joe
Well, I mean,
Mazzulla's
it
power over
depends.
that.
Like if Porzingis gets hurt immediately and he can't play, that's obviously a good. Although one of the things I'm kind of surprised about, and this is a little off topic, is I wonder if Milwaukee had would have traded Drew if he had told them he was going to stick around. Because my understanding was he was going to retire like after next season, that he said he was like basically done after 25.
I actually didn't know that really, and he just signed a contract extension.
Right, that's why I was surprised about the length of the contract. Like maybe it's different in Boston where the pressure is not as high on him, But I was pretty. I thought the feeling was he was kind of done.
There must be a better culture than they could just beat themselves at that point, if that's true.
So I mean, Boston has to go to the finals. Otherwise, they had to, multiple people had to get hurt, or it's just like a collapse.
All right, now let's talk about the matchups. Let's talk about the 3-6 and 4-5 matchups. First, with Milwaukee as your 3 seed taking on Indiana. So, as you mentioned, Giannis, he's either going to play and not be 100% or miss the series completely. And we also have Haliburton, who is injured as well. So, two banged up teams. Who's going to take over?
It depends on how much Giannis is playing. I think the last I saw is he may miss game one. Look, the Pacers have like kicked the crap out of them this whole season. Granted, Haliburton was healthy and they didn't have Pascal Siakam, so they were a little bit different then. I think if Milwaukee wins, it's going to be in seven, but they can definitely lose in less. Like they could lose in six, and obviously, the length of this series is going to be determined by Giannis, like whether or not he's healthy or not. But I mean, if he's not healthy, I think they get swept. If he's hobbled, maybe they get to six, but they're going to need a healthy Giannis. And obviously, this Pacers, like they could either sweep. This Pacers team is pretty up in the air too. Like you never really know. Who they dropped 157 on the Hawks, but then they could like get blown out the next day. Like they don't have the defense to guard them.
But do
So
you think
this is
everybody now
probably
will start playing more defense in the NBA, which seems to be in the NBA playoffs, it seems to be their tradition or
well,
not?
it's so like the idea that defense isn't like played as much is kind of goofy. So the scoring binge had to do with the fact that players are just like really fucking good. And that prior to the All-Star break, they were officiating fouls different. They were being a lot more lenient with where you could just like run into a guy and like throw your hands up and get the foul call. So that had a thing to it. I think that yeah, it'll be tighter, but these are not like defensive juggernaut teams. Like at this point, Haliburton is basically guaranteed for 25 and 12 against like. Any like that's like the baseline for what a guard is going to do against Dame. Like he just can't go. He like it's not that he can't guard it. He's just a bad defender. Like across, he just is. It's not entirely clear where Middleton is. I think Milwaukee, the saving grace for this Bucks team is they'll probably have one more shot before Giannis wants out. And because like this, if they change, rookie head coach. And then they went to Doc Rivers, and I don't know if Doc Rivers is going to be there. And then, they've had a season to figure out where their deficiencies are. So they'll probably have one more shot at this. But, the Pacers don't really care. Like, they're playing with house money. Haliburton rushed himself back so he could qualify for the 65-game threshold to potentially make a third team all NBA. And, they'll have a whole offseason to gel with Siakam. Maybe they'll move some guys for something else. Because they got a bunch of interesting pieces. Maybe actually Jared Walker will actually be, effective. Mathurin, wasn't great this year. So, they have some that, they're playing with house money. If they win this series, good for them.
Good for them indeed. Now, why don't we talk about the 4-5 matchup in the East? The Cleveland Cavaliers taking on the Orlando Magic. Cleveland not trying or caring against the Hornets last on Sunday, and they got themselves the matchup they wanted. Very interesting. We have a returning Magic. I don't think they've been in the playoffs. Correct me if I'm wrong. Since,
2020.
yeah, okay, so
2020,
it's
I
been a
think. Yeah.
while. But new, we have the first time Paolo's in the playoffs. Pretty cool stuff from there. What do we think about? And then Cleveland, very interesting season, of course. What do we think about Cavs and Magic?
I think Orlando's going to bully the absolute fuck out of
Yeah, I think they're gonna
this
be a
is
serious threat, a
like I
sleeper threat.
understand the oh, we don't want to play Boston or we don't want the 2 seed to play Miami, but like I don't know if you could have figured out a worse matchup for Cleveland than this Orlando's team. Like, yeah, Cleveland's best players are their two little guards, and Orlando just has pit bull defenders with Jalen Suggs, and you know, Fultz is not a bad, but they have Jonathan Isaac. They got big defensive guys. Like, if Mobley's not doing anything, like, it does, it's not gonna matter. And then the Cleveland's weakness is they don't have wings. Like, Max Strus is not gonna guard Paolo, and I mean, though, Franz can't shoot for shit. Like, this is going to be an ugly series because of the Magic's defense and their just absolute inability to, like, we talk about the Knicks not having offense. Orlando has like the 90s offense. Like, they cannot score. They're a bad shooting team just across the board. I think that's probably why they're like one of the big teams going after Klay next year, because they just cannot shoot for shit. I think Orlando wins this in 5 or 6. And then Donovan Mitchell goes to like LA, because I don't know who else is going to trade for him. But I at this, like, they tried it. It was a failure. I like, there is an alternate universe where Lauri Markkanen just makes the jump that he did last year as a member of the Cavs, and they're just a better team than they were this, where they currently are. But you know, yeah, you make this swing because it seems like it, but oh, this is a, I hope they get destroyed, partly because like it is a little bit of hubris to be like, yeah, you know what? I don't want to play this. I'm gonna mess with the matchups to order to pick my teams. And one of the ways, I think one of the next innovations that the NBA is gonna do is try to figure out how to make the playoff seedings so that you can't like jockey to do that. Like, maybe you can pick your opponent type of stuff.
Ooh, that'd be really good. Get some
That was what
bulletin board
KOC
material.
was arguing.
Okay. I like that idea. Again, really excited to see where that goes. Now let's focus on the West, the 3 and the 6, the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Phoenix Suns. Where's this going?
Think this goes 7. I know Phoenix beat them pretty handily recently, but I don't like neither of these teams are deep, and you know, Anthony Edwards man to being the best player of the series. But I think I trust Minnesota's defense a little bit more than I trust Phoenix's ability to like score. Not to say that they can't, but I think of the teams that could potentially, you know, threaten Phoenix, Minnesota has pretty good chance. Like, they have Jalen McDaniels, who's a pretty good defender, and it's a good defender in his own right. Bradley Beal might just get hurt. Like Bradley Beal hasn't played in the playoffs in like almost 10 years. Like, what was the last time the Wizards, when the, was it with Russ?
Yeah,
I think it was,
I'd have to. The last
I think it was
Wizards
with
have probably
Russ.
been.
Would
Last
they
time
win?
they were in the postseason was. Forgive me one second.
I'm pretty sure it was with Russ, but like, you know, Bradley Beal is,
2021. They played the six.
yeah,
They were the 8 seed against the Sixers.
right. So like, it's not been, you know, good for him in the series. I don't know. I think Phoenix the has the ability to blow teams out. I think, you know, we'll see. The question is, can Minnesota's defense slow them down enough that what they can squeak out enough offense? Because that's going to be their problem, is their ability to score. Not that that let's be clear, not because Phoenix is a defensive juggernaut. It's because Minnesota just doesn't have great scorers outside of like Ant and Cat. I mean,
And you don't even know if Cat's 100% either.
offensively, Nurkic and Rudy Gobert probably have the same level of offensive capability. And Nurkic might get hurt too. Like, I don't know. This is a weird matchup. It's going to get feisty though. I kind of hope that Minnesota wins, because it's just funny that like all these, the Devin Booker keeps like talking shit to all these teams, and they just freaking own him. But he can go thermonuclear. The only reason Denver didn't lose like 2 games in the playoffs last year is because he just I think he missed 7 shots over 2 games.
And look at what happened. And yeah, it's weird. As we talked about the Suns really never hitting that full potential, reckon you understood what you were getting, even though you get a superstar, you do have an injury prone one. And even with the role players not playing, not being up to par, you do think, hey, maybe the Suns team could just win in the postseason, at least get a round out of it. And beating a T-Wolves team that had a lot going, I think it's interesting to see where these two team franchises go particularly. And ironically, too, they've had both ownership issues recently. And how do you feel about the T-Wolves thing against, I guess, between A-Rod and Lore? They're accused of seller's remorse, and they were trying to back out of the deal, but then trying in. I don't know if you've been following that.
I haven't followed enough to do it, to say anything. Look, it's kind of ridiculous to sell a franchise at this point. They're just, like, even the shitty ones are so profitable.
Oh, yeah. All sports franchise. Everyone's at least worth $2 billion. Look how far that's come. I guess maybe they want to see where it goes. Maybe I've heard things about, like, figuring out the valuation. If they sell, let them sell. Sell. I believe the NBA's TV deal is coming to an end. Is it this year or the next year? And
but the other thing is, like, the Timberwolves are, like, if you're going to own the Timberwolves, you're going to be a tax team. Like,
yeah.
Real soon, you're going to have some big decisions. Like, this offseason, I don't know if they're going to be able to keep Nasri. Like, that's the type of stuff that they're looking at. Because you're going to be paying $50 million to Towns, to Rudy Gobert. You're probably paying, you know, Ant's going to sign a contract probably worth more than Jaylen Brown is. And, you know, you're going to have to keep Mike Conley. Actually, I think they re-signed him anyway. But, like, you're going to have to pay Jalen McDaniel. Like, they're going to hit a cap crunch. Like, of the top-seeded teams, they were the one with the bleakest future. Because, you know, there's no reinforcements coming through the draft. You don't have any picks.
And more of a reason why they need to have a deep run then, for at least morale's sake. And, you know what's cool? What's interesting about the TV deal, assuming once they get that deal going, I heard after that they'll have enough money for expansion and can get two new franchises. Probably, I would assume, Vegas and Seattle.
Yeah, and I think somebody's going – one of the Western Conference teams is going east. And I think it's New Orleans is what I've saw.
That would make the most sense geographically. But we'll see what happens there. You know, I always joke about how the Nets should move, but I know that won't happen for a plethora of reasons. But sometimes
their stadium's not even that old. The Barclays Center is like only a decade old.
Exactly. That alone reason why to stay, even though no one really shows up, but that's a funny story for another day. And the last matchup to talk about, two teams that have quite the history in the Los Angeles Clippers and the Dallas Mavericks, the 4-5. This is going to be cool to watch what's happening here.
Oh, Dallas is going to win. They're going to get over the hump. So, one, I think Kawhi's hurt already. I think I saw something that his knees are swollen already and he might not be able to play. Which, to be fair, like, had Paul George and Kawhi played last year, they would have beaten Phoenix. But I think Luka basically by himself almost beat them like 3 years ago. And now, you know, you got Kyrie Irving, who's actually played well and been calm.
Yeah, he's had a great season.
They have Gafford and Lively, who are, you know, big bodies that really the Clippers don't have. They don't have that type of size. Like, they have Zubac, and then that's, like, it. And again, you're always, like, you're going into the playoffs with some combustible-ass players. Like, you're going in with James Harden. You're going in with Paul George. You're going in, like, with Westbrook, who may make a play. Like, the reason nobody takes the Clippers seriously is you can't trust them. Like, they have no... Like, we've been at this for like 3 or 4 years now with them. Like, first off, you don't know they're going to be healthy. And second off, like, you have some of the largest choke artists in history on this team.
Funny how that works.
So, I think the really like if they get like walloped because Kawhi can't play or something, they're gonna have problems because I don't know if they're gonna be able to keep Paul George.
Hey man, remember too, they're going into a new arena next year. They
Right,
are
no, but they
starting.
have, Kawhi. They extended Kawhi. I think they're probably gonna extend Harden. But if I had a choice between Paul George and Harden, I think I would pick Paul George.
Yeah, you know, with that too, I'm just saying a truly a finally a real clean slate. You're not going to share an arena with the Lakers anymore. You're getting a whole new logo. If you do have to cut some loose ties while you finally start your being taken seriously
The real
era.
thing would have been to not re-sign Kawhi, see what this season happened, and then basically just come into the arena like as a fresh slate, like just blow everything
Yeah.
up. I don't know how many more first rounders they owe to Oklahoma City, but if you're gonna trade Paul George and Kawhi, you're probably gonna get some back.
Yeah, I see it right here. They at least owe next year and the year after until 27. Sorry, till 26.
And then they probably owe some to Philly.
Man, I know this is, you know, as we know infamously now that Shea was part of that Paul George trade. Imagine the alternate world where he just
Can
wasn't
I
a throwaway.
I have a little rant on this because I see
Of
this all the
course.
time like on Spurs Twitter.
Let it out.
There's this idea of like you have to trade right now, just to trade for Trey, trade for Damian Lillard, somebody like this. Like when they traded Shai Gilgeous-Alexander wasn't the centerpiece of that transaction. It was the first rounders that was. Like Shai was good, but if you would ask anybody in Oklahoma City or in the Clippers when they traded Shai if he was going to be this good, they all would have said no. They would not have like you going back like, oh man, we could have like imagine how much better they was. Like nobody knew how good he was going to be then. Oh, talking about another thing. They traded with the Clippers just traded one knucklehead for another. They just cut Primo to sign Kai Jones, who the last time we saw Kai Jones, first of all, it looks like he's working in like a Lowe's or something where he did his announcement. But he was having like mental breakdowns, like he needed help type of stuff. So I don't know what you're gonna get out of that, but it's a weird thing. Like just because like the way the Shai trade worked out doesn't mean that like you should rush it. The real prize of that wasn't Shai. Like it turned out great that he could like develop into this player, but I don't know if they would have, they wouldn't have made that trade if they, saw that that was happening.
Of
They it
course.
was really the picks. They wanted
Yeah.
picks, and it worked out well because that's the thing. When you have a guy like Shai, you have a guy like Wembanyama, you have a guy like Luka, you don't want to, like you want to obviously maximize them on their rookie contract because that's when they're cheapest. It's like the same thing with an NFL quarterback. But you also want to like not blow your load on draft picks because you're not going to like they're going to be good enough that you're not going to get a lot of shots at. So you're either going to need a bunch of premium draft picks to like restock or be able to hit in the later rounds like the Spurs did when they had, Duncan. Like just to like, oh, we have to go get the first big name. Like trading for Trae Young would not be solving San Antonio's problems. So that's my thing with Shai is like the idea that we knew they knew how good Shai was going to be is just ridiculous. You take it because you want the picks because you want to take as many bites at the apple to get a guy like Shai. And the fact that they lucked into him doesn't mean that that's like, oh, we always knew that this was like, nah, man.
Of
Like
course, yeah. It was just like you said, for lack of a better word, it was just luck. They didn't know what was going on, and just the only one who knew that he was that good was Shai himself. And look at him now.
like the Knicks when the Knicks signed Brunson 2 years ago. You think like Dallas wouldn't have let him go if he was going to be this fucking good,
Of
but they
course
didn't think
not.
he was going to be that good.
Man
The
was a
Knicks
bench
did.
player to
The
this.
Knicks certainly didn't think he was going to be this good. Like it was a hometown thing kind of signing. Like we're going to overpay to bring somebody in, and then they lucked out. He was this fucking good.
Yeah, the best point guard since Clyde. And it just happens that way sometimes. It happens in all sports too. And well, that's the risk of making a trade. And it works both ways. But that covers it. Well, that covers our show for today. Everything we needed to. Like I said, we'll begin our weekly coverage of the NBA postseason. We'll be back next week with it after the first couple of games and see where this all unfolds. Thank you so much, Faces, for a great appearance. And I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes with you.